that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The Flyers were served a reality check on Monday, but bounced back with a more solid effort Tuesday as they split the first two meetings with Buffalo. Definitely some bad hockey, but also some things to build on for the future. Join us as we recap the back-to-back versus Buffalo and look ahead to the Big Bad Bruins and the first road trip of the young season. Hey everyone, I'm your host with the most, Joe Gazarian, and I'll be playing both Matt and myself for this production. Matt is moving out in Colorado, so we gave him some time off.
That's a big ask for you to do.
You know what? I have the range. I'm not saying I'm Denzel or Leo or anybody like that, but
no
I'm
one's at least, saying that you're Denzel or Leo.
I mean, I've heard some rumblings. There's other people who have some different opinions, but
Well, we'll see. I'm Mike Zawisa, and I'll be holding a prayer circle for Phil Myers, Morgan Frost, Coots, and Ghost. And you know what, Joe? I'll throw you in there, too, because we got to make sure you can handle this.
For my, I thought you were going to say for my ego, because I have to take that hit that I'm not Denzel or Leo.
Yeah, well, there's that quick thinking and charisma that just helped you there. But
you know what?
Yeah.
I really try. You know, I like, maybe I'm not as good as them, but I mean, tough slew of injuries, like you just listed. I don't know if he had a phone book for all of them, but it's a lot. Like we said, shout out to Matt. He's getting settled out in Colorado. He's still trying to get on this pod, by the way. We had to cut off his internet. I don't know. I think it was Cox internet out there. We had to cut them down, make sure he couldn't get back on this episode, but he'll be back next week. So we'll he'll be back soon. Don't worry. All you ladies out there, calm down. He'll be back.
Yeah, tough break for Matt. We hated to do it to him, but the kid needed a little vacation. I see he's sipping on a nice little something out in Colorado right now.
Yeah, some kind
on
of
on Instagram.
Some kind of IPA that I've never heard of. Yeah, of course. Anyway, on the hockey front, the Flyers kind of gave us a tale of two teams really this week. I didn't see this coming. I was the guy in the street with the bell, you know, saying, "Hey, what is it called?" Oh my God.
I don't know what you call them.
It's an old English word. I don't know the word, but he would.
Are you talking
out
like the hear ye, hear ye?
Town crier. Town crier.
Town crier, yeah.
I was the town crier saying, hey, this team is dragging their feet. But yeah, Monday.
I thought
night,
you were talking about the guy. Like, we had a guy up at Syracuse who would, like, wear, like, a sign on him, and it was like, the end is near. And, like, he would get on a megaphone.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought you were
saying.
Every
college campus has.
You're a Flyers truther.
No. I'm just, I am a Flyers truther, but I saw. Was not impressed with the showing against Pittsburgh, and they followed it up. Ironically, I was not as upset with the loss to Buffalo on Monday as I was against Pittsburgh, but let's get into that. Mike, what did you think about Monday's showing? We're not going to spend too much time on this because it's really not that much to say. They didn't play great.
Yeah, I mean, it was just ugly. I don't want to say from the get, because the Hayes line with Giroux, they kind of had a nice shift early on. The fourth line had a decent shift. The Eichel line, though, answered with a really good one, and then it all kind of the Bruins or the Flyers got a power play they didn't do anything on, and then the Sabres got a couple, and they really took control after having some time on the power play, and then they just wound up capitalizing. It was one of those games where it was like, all right, 1-0, okay, bad spot, you're not looking good, but still plenty of time.
You can come back.
You can come
early.
Back. 2-0. All right, yeah, not looking good still, but it's still the Bruins or the Sabres. We got it. 3-0. I still wasn't writing him off. And then at four, it was like, okay, this is just an absolute clown show. It was ugly. And I mean, there's really, you know, early season, everybody's sloppy. There have been a few games like this around the league, even to some of the best teams. And it's going to happen, no preseason. But it definitely, it set off alarm bells for a lot of fans. You know, whether that's right or not, I don't know. But it was definitely a reality check. I think that was a good way to put it in the beginning.
For sure. And I know people like to joke about, like, momentum. They're like, oh, you know, because it's not a measurable stat, momentum. It's not something you can quantify. You can see it with your eyes, which is kind of funny, but you can't quantify it. And I think Buffalo, with the power plays they were getting, there were a lot of really good chances. They kind of just carried that momentum into the game. We'll touch on this real quick. I know how upset you were with the penalty on Carter Hart for tripping, which I agree. I honestly was running the Twitter account that night. I tweeted, I was like, I couldn't remember the last time I saw a goalie call for that. Honestly, I can't. And then I don't know if it was the same night or after that. Did you see there was another goalie in the league? It was against St. Louis. He just tackles the guy and they don't call it. I was like,
I think it was insane. It was that San Jose St. Louis game. You're 100% right. I think it was either Martin Jones or the backup straight up tackled the Blues player. And that's what, like, we see goalies do that all the time. Like, a goalie sprinting out to, like, knock a puck away or, like, take out a break. Like, I don't understand how you can call a trip on a guy. But, and that's kind of the penalty that turned the game. I mean, that made it, what, 2-0?
I think that was Olofsson, and he, I think Carter, I don't know what power play it was, if it was the first one or not, but he came across and he almost made the save. It actually was off the arm and in, but I was surprised and not surprised at the same time, because I thought, hey, after that Pens game, AV was probably going to tear into them because they played very badly.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come out better against Buffalo. And then after, I want to say, 5 or 6 minutes into the first period, I was like, oh boy. I don't know if they have it tonight. And they didn't. And like you said, early on, no preseason. I'm not going to go fire and brimstone yet. But they cleaned it up in the next game.
Relative term.
Well, cleaned up as best you can with people getting injured. What did you – any last thoughts Monday before we move into the back-to-back to Tuesday?
No, I mean, it's just a shame it happened so early in the season, because immediately you had – every, you know, John and Joe from Fishtown being like, well, same old Flyers, you know, playing down to bad teams, same old Flyer. Like, I'm just so, I thought we were past that after last season when it was clear that they are not the same old Flyers. Like, teams just have bad games sometimes. And yeah, they hadn't looked great against Pittsburgh the last two, but they didn't look that bad. Like,
no.
So it was just a bad game. That's just what it comes down to.
No, I agree. Yeah, it just sucks, because that's such a Flyers thing to do. At least it didn't happen first game of the season, because, you know, that was NBC's most televised non-playoff game in I don't know how many years. So you know, all of Philadelphia, all of Pennsylvania was watching, and if they had blown it to Pittsburgh in the first game, we would never hear the end of it. If talk radio decided to pick it up, they would have just torn this team to pieces. Oh, Jake and Giroux, not leaders. They can't. Oh, shut up, would you please? For the love of God. But that moves into Tuesday. And I think, hey, if there was ever time for a back to back, it was these two games. Because, yeah, getting trounced like that, it's good that you're able to go right after it the next night. I think even Abe Kubel, he said the same thing. He's like, I'm looking forward to playing tomorrow. We got to get this behind us. They answered the bell 3-0, and courtesy of a 40-save win by Brian Elliott. Moose was fantastic in net. Obviously, 40 shots isn't something you want to see on a nightly basis, but I will say, and I think you agree with me, Mike, they did a pretty good job of keeping a lot of those to low-quality shots, so it is what it is. But something to build on after Tuesday, you think?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think a lot of people would have wanted them to come out, like, just guns blazing in that game. And in a way, I'm glad that they didn't. They kind of came out and struggled through the early game a little bit. They didn't look as bad, but they still let up, like, 10-plus shots in that first period or whatever. It wasn't a flawless frame. Brian Elliott had at least a couple 10-bell saves. They took a couple penalties. Like, it wasn't a perfect game at all, but they kept working through it. I thought that they got better as the game went on. And you can kind of see that in a couple of the charts, like Natural Stat Trick has their game flow charts that they do at 5-on-5. And the Flyers kind of really kept getting better throughout the game. They carried play at even strength through the first couple periods. In the third period, the Sabres started to turn it a little bit, but some of that is like game effect, the fact that the Flyers were already leading and then they got another goal. The Sabres needed to kind of go into overdrive to get it back. So
it's garbage yards in football. Same thing.
You
go up a bunch of scores and you're gonna just nothing cheap, nothing deep.
So. That's why Matt Stafford consistently racks up some of the fantasy points in the league.
What is it? Stat Padford?
Stat Padford, yeah. But I think, you know, if you look at like high danger chances for and against, the Flyers and the Sabres were pretty close. If you look at scoring chances for and against, again, pretty close. Sabres got the edge, obviously. When you have 40 shots to 30, you're going to have the edge there. But it wasn't terrible. Still some plays they got to clean up, but it was a good answer and just a good team win. It's one of those wins where like all hands were on deck, you know, 40 saves by Elliott, great performance. The defense, they were blocking shots. Provorov saved a goal with his hand, which was really cool. JVR, I thought, had one of his most like physical games in a while.
I was going to say, yeah, he and some of the, I think Charlie O'Connor tweeted it out. The coaching staff was really pleased with JVR's game last night. JVR is one of those guys where a lot of the time you don't really notice him unless he's scoring. And I thought he was actually pretty visible last night, which is good to see.
Yeah, I mean, he was throwing like jabs at people. He was hitting like
actual hitting, not JVR's normal checks, which are him and Robert Haig. You know, they have pillow fights as checks. But he was getting some size.
He was throwing the body. Something pissed him off from that first game. I mean, it could have just been getting shelled, but he was throwing the body a little. So, yeah, I felt there were a lot of standout players. Nolan Patrick, TK, and Lindblom. That line was
pass from phenomenal. Lindblom.
Oh yeah, up to the set wall, TK
off the board, and just whoop. Right there.
And the play by Patrick before, he turned it over in the offensive zone. They come back. He picks, I think it was Lazar's pocket or Eichel's pocket, takes the puck from him, gets it to Lindblom on a nice backhander, and then Lindy sends it up the boards. And TK with all the savvy in the world to try that move. Could you imagine?
That was from a long ways out, by the way. That backhand was from a long ways out.
And it had nothing on it. Nothing on it at all.
That's maybe that's him seeing something on film. I don't know, but he tried that backhand from it wasn't at the dots, but it was not much further in than that.
It was like a low circle.
Yeah, watching the replay, yeah. I was like, all right, well, he must have really knew that was going to be 5.
I didn't think it was going in live. I was like, as soon as I saw him turn into the backhand, I was like, oh no. And then I mean, he got it though. So yeah, overall, like you said, 40 shots, not great, but outside of a handful or like a few 10 bells from Elliott here and there, a lot the Sabres were really just throwing the puck on from everywhere, I thought, for a lot of that game. So yeah.
And you know, all things considered, like you said, it was a all hands on deck kind of team win, which is it's great for early in the season because it's something you can really build on and move forward with. Brian Elliott was fantastic. We should mention he had that. For me, the biggest standout save was that it was like a double save. I don't know if it was on the power play or it was right after, but looked spry in net. Did not look like an old man, for sure. He looked great. Carter Hutton was really good, too. We'll touch on this real quick, too. The Provorov incident with him and Brandon Montour. No idea why Ralph Krueger is calling for Provorov's head when, if he looked at the replay, I mean, everybody saw Brandon Montour push Provorov into Carter Hutton. He's like, oh, he extended his elbow. Like, are you kidding? Just asinine comments, but, you know, it is what it is. I liked how he said, he's like, you know, that's our second player that's been hit in the head. But, bro, have you seen the Flyers? Sanheim got headshotted. No, just a fine, nothing else. We've lost. You named everybody else, six other players that are down. You took out three of them. Like, I don't want to hear that, oh, my players are getting hit and hurt.
Yeah, it's just very questionable. Very questionable. Confused as to why defensemen keep doing that to their own goalies and it's then bizarre. Get mad after the fact. Like,
yeah, Provorov was down. A bad look. he's punching him in the net as Provorov's lying on the ice. Like, it's it reminds me of that Eric Andre meme, right? I think he tweeted
someone
it.
Someone tweeted that. It's like, why would Ivan Provorov do this?
it's exactly, everybody knows what that meme is. We don't have to talk about it, but it's exactly what comes to mind. You're like, are you kidding me? Other than that, Jake scored, which has got to be good for him after
big goal by Jake.
After, you know, having some words with the weasel, Mike Sielski. Good to have him get on the board. And I thought that line looked pretty good all night. What did you think?
It did, yeah. That Hayes and Voracek line was pretty good.
Two big boys.
Two big boys.
Big rear ends, which I like. You can box out because, you know, whenever I see one of them on the half wall, especially Jake, when he's really getting into it, he reminds me so much of Jager on that lower half wall, using that big old Czech rear end to box people out. That's what they do. Pay attention to how far he sticks his ass out.
I agree. I do. Huge play. And Charlie O'Connor had an interesting observation about that goal. Kind of the eye test versus, like, stats test or whatever. Mm-hmm. That the Flyers didn't register a high danger chance in the third, apparently. And that goal doesn't count for one, or didn't count for one. And Charlie basically said that's one of those shots from that position that statistically, like, most statisticians will not register that as a high danger chance. But the combination of Jake being, well, I'm not going to say he's a hard shooter or anything like that, but he's a skilled shooter. We've seen Jake knows how to, when he takes
can pick
all,
corners sometimes.
Yeah, he can pick his spots and all of that. The combination of that, the combination of being off the rush, and then also the fact that Hayes gave that little look back to the goal right before he passed it, all that combines to a really dangerous play that won't show up on the stat sheet. So, you know, just one of those weird plays that, you know, it looks great and, you know, didn't show up for them in the game sheet in terms of the analytics, but still.
That's why you need both. That's why you need eyes and data, because they one will confirm or disprove the other, I guess. We should mention also the injuries real quick. Morgan Frost took a and I don't understand these hits. I'm watching them, and a lot of them, the Coots one, just like you said before we recorded, Mike, like they're just, I mean, they must be at the perfect spot to hurt people, because you got Coots with what seemed very innocent, him being out a couple weeks. The Myers hit, same thing, especially for a big strapping guy like Myers. You'd see the hit and you're like, oh, he's got to be fine.
Yeah.
Apparently not. He's going to be out probably sometime. And Frost one I can actually see. It was up against the boards. It was kind of awkward, so we'll see how he's doing. But what are your thoughts on the injuries real quick? What do you think is going to happen with the lines?
I guess Connor Bunneman draws into the lineup. You could run him at 4C.
Sam Moran
no.
And move the centers
around? Everybody's saying that. Everybody forgets that Friedman is literally, like, on the team, not even in the taxi squad. Like,
No. Have Sam Moran
at forward?
At forward, and just shuffle the centers.
I mean,
against the Bruins?
I honestly would not be opposed to that, because I don't know. Connor Bunneman has played well against the Bruins. So, like, he had that one game at the end of last season. He in that comeback game, Friedman shot the one off his leg.
It was a dirty goal.
So.
I liked it.
I wouldn't be opposed to playing Connor Bunneman. I think he's a responsible player. But if you use Sam Moran, then you can go Giroux at center instead. And I think your team looks deeper.
Yeah.
So well, I wouldn't I be opposed if, to that, but
you could talk me into either one. I could be talked into Sam Moran or Connor Bunneman.
That's like the least of my concerns. Like if it was Connor Bunneman versus Sam Moran replacing Coots in the lineup, then I would be panicking. Like if that was the first go, but no, they're replacing Frost potentially. So I don't know. We'll see how it shakes out. Of course, it's going to be announced like 5 minutes after we stop recording.
Yeah, we'll drop this. You know, it comes out Thursday morning, and of course, the news will be out right after that, and we'll be out. But Myers, we'll see. Friedman, obviously, like you said, is there. They did recall not Prosser, who they're Pouliot. They recall Pouliot, which I guess to keep him on the taxi squad if they're going to play Friedman. And that way they have 2D up there. We'll see how he looks. I'm fine with Friedman getting a chance. Plus, isn't he a right shot as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Which I'm a big fan of lefty righty for defensemen. I think it opens up passing more. It opens up shooting. So you're on your best hand at all times. I'm excited to see Freeman. I think when he has been with the Flyers, he's not popped off the screen or anything, but he's looked solid. He's looked like he'd hold his own. So we'll see what they do with the defensive pairings. Anything else on Buffalo before we turn our eyes to?
I thought about it immediately into Monday's game. I think in the episode prior, when we were setting up the Buffalo game, I basically said how the Flyers shouldn't worry about going up against guys like Curtis Lazar in the bottom six. And of course, Curtis Lazar had two very nice goals, or at least one very nice goal, and then had another one later in that 6-2 or 6-1 rout on Monday night. So it just goes to show you, anything can happen in the NHL. We were shit-talking
the
Penguins
mush.
Bottom six or it before. So
you're a reverse mush. So you,
what is that?
Like a mush is like you mush someone, like you talk about them and they end up playing like ass.
Okay.
You just reverse it. That you talk about them, they play well. So we are now.
That's happened so much to us though since we've started this podcast. Like going back to the Canadiens series and everything too.
Montreal, yeah. We should take donations from NHL teams because when we talk about them, they turn to play well.
They listen. Guaranteed. Curtis Lazar heard us.
He's one of our downloads, 100%. But it was good to see them bounce back Tuesday night. And like I said, focus now shifts to Boston. It's a tall order. You know, the Bruins are a great team, but they're still kind of finding their footing, just like the Flyers are. They split their series with New Jersey, followed up being shut out by the Islanders, which is never a good night for anybody. What do you think we can kind of expect from this small series with Boston coming up, Mike?
I mean, they have Marchand back. So you got to be.
He had a goal and an assist the first game, I think.
Yeah, apparently no rust at all on Marchand.
That rat.
Yeah. I don't know. I think with all these early games, who knows? What I'm looking for most is a win. Right now, results. We're kind of like at the beginning of the season, in some ways, at least this year, is going to be very similar to like the end of most seasons, how results are the only thing that matters right now. Like the Flyers need to keep winning or keep gaining points. That's the most important thing. The process can keep improving that over the season, but it's not like if you lose a game early on, you can get those points back later. That's not going to happen. So you need to get the points now. So if they go out there and get hammered in shots by the Bruins and come out with a win, I mean, that's huge. That's, you know, the points matter most. Do I want them to play a really good even game with them and not take penalties? And if they do have strong kills, you know, they had some good kills on Tuesday night against the Sabres. Yeah, obviously I want that, but
that power play is good. I mean,
it's
no Pasta obviously, but still, Marchand is deadly. So is Bergeron. So they've got skill there. DeBrusque is good. Yeah, I'm sorry. Finish your thought. I rudely interrupted you.
No. I'm glad you cut me off. It's hard to handicap the beginning of the season right now. Like this early on, there have been some wild games, like we said, and I don't think the Bruins haven't scored an even strength goal yet. Just looking at their box score now.
Yeah, it's true.
They've scored two goals on the power play and one goal shorthanded. So they have three goals on the season in three games.
Not great.
It's hard to like, and we know that's not what the Bruins are like. So it's hard to kind of handicap these games early on. But if we're going off of anything that the Bruins were like last season, physical team, plays with speed, responsible up and down the lineup, your best way to beat them is get traffic in front of Rask and get in on the forecheck. I think that's basically it. Run your offense from behind the net too if you can.
Oh, don't tease me with that. You know how long I've been crying about getting someone to run from behind the net, either on a power play or just in regular game would be great. I'll finish up with Boston. I'll say this, it's the first road trip of this weird season. So I just hope they all stay safe, they stay smart. I'm sure it's going to be strange for them. They're not as strange because they were in the bubble, but still, anytime you're traveling with stuff like this now, it's going to be weird.
Well, and we just saw, I don't know if you saw, Joe, but the Washington Capitals got fined $100,000 by the league for violating COVID protocols, and they were just on their road trip to Pittsburgh, I believe. So,
jeez.
I mean, that's part of it. Guys got to be responsible. I hope that the leadership group, you know, people can get COVID a bunch of different ways. It's not always like, it's not always like your fault and stuff like that. But these guys got to make sure that they're putting themselves in situations to not get sick and to not get exposed and everything. And I would hope that they would use all the resources that the team has provided them to not get sick and everything. Ghost, a little different. I think he has, I think his significant other works at a hospital. So that could have been part of the,
But I mean, you can do, like you said, when I had it, I was doing everything right. I was doing everything by the book. Masks, you know, I didn't wear gloves, but I made sure to, you know, sanitize every time I was in public. And, you know, it's still one of those things. It's more likely to happen to you than not. Especially when you're going out in public. So I'm just looking for them, like you said, though, to, I don't care what the wins look like, just get the wins, especially against Boston, because they're not as big of a rival anymore. I don't think they, because they obviously pulled away the last couple of years. They're just better than us. But I thought we skated with them pretty well last year. I'm looking for that same kind of momentum this year. But Carter Hart, I'm looking for him to kind of come back with a good game. Monday really wasn't his fault, I would say. A lot of those goals were, you know, like I said, he did his best on that power play. He almost had that. It would have been a crazy save if he had it. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever really fault the goalie when the team's playing that horrible in front of him. So
yeah.
I'm looking for him to respond with a good game. I don't know. Do you think he'll get both?
No, I don't.
There's a day separated, so they play tomorrow, then they play Saturday.
I mean,
after Brian's performance, I wouldn't be upset.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could, but Elliott's coming off a 40 save shutout. Give him the break for this game, or give him this game. Like, he's had the day of rest. He's on a hot hand. Put him in against the Bruins in game one, and then throw Hart in the second game. Maybe you get the backup in the second game. I don't know. I think you could play it either way, but I don't think I would play Hart both games. I think I'd play both my goalies here, because now's a good opportunity to kind of bank, like I was saying, you can't bank the points like that you lose. You can bank starts for your goalie later on. Like, if you can set up a situation where in the final 15 games of the season, you can play Hart like 13 games or 11 games or something like that, I think that's huge. If you can do that now by giving him rest, by playing Elliott when he appears to be playing well, maybe you try that. So,
yeah. I agree. I'm looking forward to them kind of finding their footing a little bit. But anything else on Boston before? Do you want to do a hot take cafe? We haven't done one in a while.
I think so. I think we've neglected the takery. We've neglected the rest of the league as well. So,
well, I'm a high level business executive. I can't be seen to be thrown out of these hot takes left and right. I need my name to be respected in the community. But my first hot take, because let's do a couple. We haven't done one in a while. My first hot take, John Tortorella will be fired this year. The Columbus Blue Jackets will be moving on without John Tortorella. That's my first hot take. What do you think?
You know what? I really like that one. Usually your hot takes blow me away, but I think I'm going
to... That's a conservative hot take. I agree.
It's that's a conservative hot take, but I think I'm gonna do the blowing away here, Joe.
Let's hear it.
I think that on top of Tortorella getting fired, the situation with Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to become unattainable, and they're also going to trade him. So not only are they going to fire their coach, but they're going to lose their star player too.
So Jarmo Kekalainen, does he keep his job then? Or are we just going to clean house, sweep everyone out?
Yeah, do we double down even more? He's gone too.
You know, it's interesting with Pierre-Luc Dubois, because I think you bring up a good point. Because now Panarin's gone, Bobrovsky's gone, all under Tortorella. The question starts to be asked, fairly or unfairly, is it the coach? Is it the city? I've been to Columbus. Nice Midwest town. I mean, you know, it's fine. It's not going to blow you away, but a lot of cities in America don't blow you away. So I don't know what's going on in Columbus, but all right, let's do another one. We both picked Columbus. That feels like we need to do another one. I got Canadiens, my Montreal Canadiens. I said they're going to make the playoffs. Are you ready? You ready?
Sure. Mike? Yeah, I'm all ears.
Montreal Canadiens are going to win the North Division. Book it right now.
Oh my
Book
God.
It. Book it.
You just made so many friendships in Montreal for us after that
I'm a francophone.
We lost them all.
I'm a francophone.
Are you?
Francophile? Oh, Francais? No, is it? I think
it's francophile. No, file is like you love it.
Oh, I guess you're right.
Like cinephile.
What's francophone?
Is just like you. I think you speak the language.
I speak a little French as well. We're keeping this in. I'm gonna look. I'm looking it up right now. Francophone. A person who speaks French.
Yeah.
Okay. My bad. I mean, I do speak some French, but I need a couple glasses of the vino before I get really good at it. So
that's fair. That's fair.
But yeah, or maybe a couple in honor of Montreal. How about a couple glasses of Molson? Huh? I'll take a pint of Molson.
Yeah. Do you have a glass of Molson? I guess you could.
You could.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, that's my hot take. I have Montreal winning the North Division. I think. Josh Anderson's going to single-handedly carry them to the cup. You had it here first.
Single-handedly? To the cup? Oh, my God. That went off the rails.
No, I'm stopping my hot take. They're going to win the North. Yeah. That's my hot take.
It's so funny because last year, after that playoff series ended and then in the offseason came and they started, like, doubling down on all those moves, you, me, and Matt were like, are they crazy? Like, why are they doing all this? And then we kind of, like, looked at the roster when the season started and we're like, wait a second.
Not they horrible. Have,
not terrible. That $15 million tied up in goaltending is actually serving them well. So, all right.
I'm telling you, because they have a lot of players on that team that have been told, you know, they're not good enough. I have a little bit of a Vegas vibe. That's what I get from them. A little bit of a Vegas vibe.
Okay.
A lot of people who are rejects or reclamation projects.
The islands of misfit toys.
Yes, exactly. And Mark Bergevin said, come on down. Let's push all our chips to the center of the table, whether we're ready or not. I love a gambler. So.
Okay. All right. That's fair. You know what? Staying up north, the Canadiens, they play, I believe, the Vancouver Canucks tonight.
They do.
10 Eastern. Who, those Canucks, not looking that great. No. Not looking too good right now.
Do you think they miss Jacob Markstrom a little bit?
I think they miss Markstrom a little bit. I think they, talking about throwing all your chips down on the table, I think they doubled down on Thatcher Demko way too quickly.
He looked really good in those playoffs.
He looked really, really good. He did. That sample size, though.
Michael Layton 2.0 or Andrew Hammond 2.0.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. They're just not. They've got some drama with Elias Pettersson, too, like fighting with the media and everything. It just seems like a lot of weird stuff is going on up in Canuck land right now. So, you know what? Montreal winning the division. How about this? The Vancouver Canucks finishing last in the North Division.
Oh, my God. We can't go to BC at all now. Way to go. We're really limiting our options up north.
I really want to move out there one day, too.
It's gorgeous. I mean, it looks beautiful, but holy cow.
I'm a Vancouver phone.
You know what? I could see it happening. It's not out of the realm of possibility. I like it. That's your first kind of that's a hot take.
That's
from
the spiciest take I think I've ever.
Usually your takes are lukewarm. That's a hot take.
My biggest one so far was that the Hurricanes would surpass the Lightning in that division. But yeah. I think I might be pulling back on that one now because that I don't know if
no,
they have
see,
it in them.
You steer into the skid, Mike. You
no,
steer
not
into
at all.
It.
If the Canucks make the playoffs, I'm gonna pretend like I said they were good the whole time. There's no way I'll.
If life has taught me anything, if when people are saying you're wrong, it's just more power for you to say you're wrong and just completely disavow whatever they're saying with no proof. Doesn't matter if you have proof or not. Apparently, facts don't matter anymore.
Post-truth
so.
World.
Yes. Yeah. It's all fake. All right. That was fun. That was a nice hot take cafe. Anything else before we kind of end it here?
No, I don't know. I just thought of this. I'm really happy that hockey is back.
I thought you were gonna say you're really happy Matt's not here.
No, oh my God, no.
I love you, Matty.
We're missing that third screen on Google Meet right now with Matt's picture in it. So
and no, five different headphones. One
yeah.
For each
Matt's
orifice.
Got a hole. He looks like Gadget. You know, when he's on the pod. No, I am. I'm happy hockey's back. It kind of just hit me. We have hockey to watch tomorrow night. And then again on Saturday. Nothing better than like Saturday night hockey, in my opinion. I love settling into the weekend with a game. So, yeah, that's really all I got.
I saw a tweet. It's like there's I don't know how many consecutive days in a row, but there's going to be a hockey game on every single day. So
yeah, yeah.
Can't really be upset with that, but
no.
I think it's a good place to end it. The Flyers have seen some adversity early here in the season. They've gotten bitten by the injury bug quite a few times. Really, it doesn't look like they found their true game yet. And the road doesn't get any easier as they embark on their first road trip. You know, no pun intended, but they take on Boston. Fingers crossed they avoid any seemingly harmless collisions that end up in actual injuries. We're going to be back next week, though, with some more Flyers talk with Maddie. Until then, take care, folks.